quite clearly, this verse has been there all along, but I've been trying to ask the question from this Old Testament story, this Old Testament example, what is there for us today? By the way, let me just say that I believe I am going to be starting a series, a pretty long-running series, I imagine, that actually goes into this question in some detail. How do we go to the Old Testament? How do we find the messages of Christ in the Old Testament? What's involved with that and so on? Today I'd like to share with you this idea. What is the secret enemy of Christian victory? We would like to have victory. We would like to say, I am living a victorious Christian life. But there is an enemy that defeats us. And I believe one of the reasons is that we didn't recognize this to be an enemy. Let me take you to God's word to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 and verse 9. Listen, I'm going to emphasize what I'd like for you to really catch. Be strong and of a good courage, God says to Joshua. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God says, I'm going to do this. But you can't sit in the rocking chair and wait for me to do it. You have to be strong and of a good courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous. When do you need to be courageous, by the way? When you're eating an ice cream sundae? It's when you're in danger, when you're facing some problem. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper, the word could mean do wisely, whithersoever thou goest. In verse 9 he says this, have I not commanded thee? The answer is yes, you have. Here's for the third time, be strong and of a good courage. And then he adds the opposite here, and here's the secret enemy. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Moses spoke to the people in general about the transfer of authority. He goes into detail in Deuteronomy 31 saying, look, I'm 120 years old. I can't do the steps anymore, you know? And he says, besides, God told me, I'm done. So he says to them about the people that are already living in Canaan, he says, be strong and of a good courage. Then the secret enemy, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, it is he that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Then Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel. So this is a commissioning service. This is a transfer of authority thing. And he said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. What did the Lord do? He swore that he would give this to them, yet they had to be courageous to do it. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it, he says. Then later we find that Moses spoke to Joshua personally, Deuteronomy 31:23. He gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge. This is a charge of duty. And said, be strong and of a good courage. For thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land, which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And Moses is sharing that promise of God. To gain the value of this, we need to think of Joshua's situation. He was the second leader of the children of Israel, and in whose sandals did he follow? Moses, see, Moses. God chose Joshua to follow Moses, but Joshua was no Moses. I mean, in the sight of the people, in the sight of God, everybody. Deuteronomy 34:10, it says, "There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." A Moses comes once in history. Great men may sometimes appear once in a generation, and greater men once in a century, but the greatest appear only once on the stage of history, in all the panorama of the ages, and that was a Moses. Undoubtedly, Moses' Hebrew mother taught him the principles and the oracles of the true and living God. Exodus 2:9, Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, unto Moses' sister, who came up and said, "By the way, do you need somebody to care for this baby that you just took out of the river?" Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And so his own mother became the volunteer and got paid for it for taking care of her own baby, Moses. Well, we find something else about that, what happened in Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather, notice the choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then notice this interesting phrase, esteeming the reproach of Christ, or the reproach for Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Do you see, we're seeing described here a faith in the true and living God that he had to learn someplace, probably there at home. So Moses became Israel's deliverer. He was the one standing face to face with Pharaoh. He was the one that said, "Let my people go. My God says, let my people go, or you're going to wish you had." And they wished they had. And so the people pleaded with Pharaoh, "Please let them go." They dumped over tons of gold and silver and jewels and everything, saying, "Please take this and leave." The people of his court said to Pharaoh, "Don't you realize Egypt is now ruined? Get them out of here. We can't take this anymore." So to Moses was committed the trust of presenting and enforcing God's law, of setting up an orderly procedure of worship, the building or the making of the tabernacle, and of performing many of the great miracles, all of the plagues of Egypt and all these things. Joshua was no Moses, and he needed all the more to rely on the power of God. To rely on the power of God. And here's the lesson for us. To rely on the power of God does not mean we don't do anything, but that we just sit and wait. Because he told him to be strong and of good courage. So let me share this with you. God promised victory, as he has with us, but demanded strength and courage. Joshua 1:6, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them." So let me point this out. Faith establishes strength. They could go into the battle knowing God said they were going to win. Faith establishes strength. But fear defeats faith. The secret enemy is fear. The secret enemy is saying, I know that's what God would want me to do, but if I did that, think of what would happen. Think what I would lose. Think about my family. Think of, you know, all these fearful things. Faith brings strength. Listen to Romans 4:20. He, speaking of Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. There's our strength, giving glory to God. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you or act like men, be strong. How are we to be strong? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong, standing fast, standing firm in the faith. So what is the enemy? The enemy is fear. The enemy is fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Faith believes, fear doubts. Let me show you some verses. The fear of men is opposite the fear of God. Look how these are contrasted. Christ is saying, Matthew 10:24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. He points to himself. He says, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? He points to the disciples. But he says this, fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. He says, God's going to bring all this out. So fear them not. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. What ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body. Well, I don't know. That sounds kind of scary. Fear not them. Because he says there's something worse than that. Fear not them that which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Now that's scary. There's no ending to that. It's a forever thing to have a soul that's dead. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Do you see the contrast? Fearing men who at most can kill the body. Or in faith, fear God who could kill both body and soul. Then he asks this question, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Just a little bit of money. One of them shall not fall to the ground without your father. He says, worthless little birds, God watches them when they fall out of the tree. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I've given God some time off. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. I'm probably up to 3, 4, 5 sparrows by now. Do you see what the fear of men does? It's opposed to the fear of God. Secondly, your physical safety is dependent on God. Mark 4, the disciples and Jesus are in a ship on the Sea of Galilee. Verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full of water. And he, Christ, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow in the middle of the storm. They're frantic, he's asleep, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Their focus wasn't on him. We're afraid that you're going to die here. Do you not care that we're going to die? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? Notice how he describes fearful. How is it that you have no faith? You see how they're two sides. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man, what kind of being is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? This was a learning experience for them. They began to fear him who has all power rather than to fear just the things that could affect their life. Their physical safety was dependent on God, not upon a storm. A third thing we can learn, that a religion of works breeds fear, not faith. Listen to Romans 8. Romans 8, 13 to 16. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's an equal sign. If you are a child of God, if you have accepted Christ as Savior, you are being led by the Spirit. And the leading of the Spirit is to put to death the works of the flesh we were talking about earlier. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That whole law-keeping thing puts you in fear because you never do it right. You never do it better, as good as you can. But instead, you have received the spirit of adoption. You become a child of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So a religion of works breeds fear, not faith. It is not greater faith that tries to be a law keeper. It's just based on fear. A fourth thing, the fear of man causes believers to compromise. Galatians 2, 11 and 12. But when Peter, Paul says, when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Fearing the Jews. Fearing them caused him to compromise on the standard of these Gentiles being Christians. Peter said, or Paul says, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. He was in the wrong. Hebrews 13 talks about this fear causing compromise again. Notice how he says it. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation, here the word means manner of life. Let your manner of life be without covetousness. I want this, I want that, I want what he has. Be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. You say, yeah, but what if I have need later? What if I, you know, what if the market goes down? What if this? What if that? He says, be content with such things as ye have. Why? For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's one of the things you have. Him. You say, but yeah, but I don't have a lot of stuff. Weigh the two. Which is better? So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. What can man do to me? Tolstoy was saying in our quote, what can he do to you? He can take your stuff. See? But can he take what God gives? No, beyond man's power. And then 1 John 4, 17 and 19. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment when our deeds are judged. Because as he is, so are we in this world. You see, faith is based on the love of God. So he says there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not, or has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. He doesn't love us back because we first loved him. We love him back because he first loved us. And if our relationship is based on love, there's really no room for fear. It wasn't based on what we did. It's based on what he did. And the motive behind it was his love. Fear has no room. A fifth thing is this. Fear makes us ashamed of the gospel. Anybody feel uncomfortable all of a sudden? At the time when you felt like you should have said something, here was an opportunity for you to give the gospel. Maybe not to that person. Maybe not here. Maybe not this place. 2 Timothy 1, 6 to 8. Paul says to young Timothy, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." The gift by the putting on the hands is ordination. The gift was his pastorate duties. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Fear is based on, I might fail. "But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." And Paul says, "Nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker, a sharer, of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Yes, but if I witness, I'll be noticed. I'm going to share in the affliction of the gospel. He says, go for it. Don't let fear stop you from that, because God is in control of it all. And that fear, it didn't come from God. God hath not given you the spirit of fear. So where did that fear come from? Say, from the inward sinful principle. And finally this, when fear dominates, faith is absent. This is told us in that verse in Revelation that sort of stands as a sermon on its own. If you follow the outline of what's being said, he just kind of pops this one in. It's all by itself. Revelation 21:8. Notice the first in the list. "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Oh, why is he picking on the fearful? They're to be pitied, aren't they? No, the fearful are those without faith. In the end, if fear wins, faith has lost. Let us take courage, to be strong and of a good courage to accomplish what only God can accomplish. But we have to be at the front of the battle in the doing of it. The secret enemy of your Christian victory? Fear. But what will happen to me? Throw yourself into the battle. Be involved. Commit everything you have. Yield it all, placing it at the disposal of God. Let him have the final say. Tell him that you will not bow to the image, even if they throw you in a fiery furnace. Tell them you will not stop praying even if they throw you in a den of lions. Tell them that they cannot take from you what God has given. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we recognize that as weak people in the infirmity of our flesh, we tend to pay more attention to fear than we do with faith. It's too hard often to see things the way the world sees it and not be afraid. Many of us stand afraid of what's happening in our country, stand afraid of where Christian belief will be in the next few years. And yet, Father, these circumstances are well within your ability to change. If we are living in a time, in a day, when you allow such a thing, you are simply calling on us to be strong and of a good courage. They cannot take from us anything that is ultimately important. For our lives, the lives of our families, the existence of our church, it's all within your hands. And as the three Hebrew young men found out, that even a horribly hot, fiery furnace is not enough to burn a child of God that you want to save. No lion is hungry enough to eat a child of God that you're willing to save. And so, Father, our lives are not in their hands, but in yours. And we are immortal until your time with us is done. And that is up to you. So give us that strength of faith, that courage that says, I know what the right thing to do is, and I will do it no matter how scary, no matter how much I'm threatened, no matter what they promise to take away from me. For all that is truly important in my life is what you give. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder if you'd say with me, Pastor, I need to defeat fear in my life when it tells me not to believe that God is in control. Fear will stop me from acting in faith. Pray for me that I'll trust God beyond my sensory fear. Pray for me. Would you just lift your hand up? Yes, amen. Yes, yes. Praise God. Father, then we thank you for this meal. We thank you for the love that we've shown one another by the sharing of food and fellowship and time together. Be with us the rest of this day. Help us to rely on thee, to recognize that if you've called us to do something, we dare not fear, be dismayed, be discouraged. For this is not all the stuff we live for. We are to be strong and of a good courage. And our strength will be in faith, but fear will defeat the faith. We pray thy blessing in Jesus' name.